It's Thursday, October 13th, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Coming up, Republican Donald Trump defiant as ever amid international concerns about his presidential campaign.
We urgently need to mobilize $119 million U.S. dollars.
The calls are out for massive hurricane relief aid in Haiti. Also ahead, law enforcement isn't clowning around with creepy developments. And it's a half century for the Country Music Association. It's all on today's International Edition. U.S. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is vowing to finish the last weeks of his run for the White House on his own terms. Trump is undeterred by party leaders fleeing his campaign after the widespread airing of a 2005 tape with Trump making crude comments about women and boasting of his sexual exploits. Trump in front of cheering supporters Wednesday in the southern battleground state of Florida.
Tell you what, folks, this is the last time you'll ever have a chance to save our country. That's not going to happen anymore. You won't be able. The numbers will be too great. Already, the Republican nominee has a massive disadvantage. And especially when you have the leaders not putting their weight behind the people.
The brash real estate tycoon accused Washington politicians, both Republicans and Democrats, of protecting his opponent, Democrat Hillary Clinton, from prosecution for her handling of national security material on her private email server while she was Secretary of State for 4 years. Investigators called her actions extremely careless, but decided no criminal charges were warranted. But Trump did not mention the tape that has roiled the final stages of the 2016 presidential campaign, in which he bragged about groping women with impunity because he was a celebrity. Meanwhile, the UN human rights chief said Wednesday that if elected the next U.S. president, Donald Trump would be, quote, dangerous from an international point of view. Speaking with reporters in Geneva, Zayed Raad al-Hussein called some of Trump's comments about vulnerable communities and the use of torture deeply unsettling and disturbing.
Where the comments point to a potential, should, depending on the results of the election, for an increase in, for instance, or the use of the torture, which is prohibited under the Convention Against Torture, or the focus on vulnerable communities in a way that suggests that they may well be deprived of their rights, their human rights, then I think it's incumbent to say so. And many of Mr. Trump's comments are in that direction, are deeply unsettling and disturbing to me and to us. If Donald Trump is elected on the basis of what he has said already, and unless that changes, I think it's without any doubt that he would be dangerous from an international point of view.
Al-Hussein's comments come a month after he said populist politicians like Trump and Dutch nationalist Geert Wilders are using fear and the promise of a world that has never existed in order to gain appeal. Russian diplomats in Geneva and New York have also complained directly to Zayed and to the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon about Trump's remarks. We move on now to see what's buzzing online with our social media correspondent, Gabby Lee. As usual, she's joining me right here in the studio to tell us what's trending online. Hi, G.
Hi, Jim. WikiLeaks is getting a lot of attention on social media with more than a million people talking about it on Facebook alone. WikiLeaks is an international journalistic organization and they published information that allegedly showed the mainstream media's secret support for Hillary Clinton. As you know, that's something that Donald Trump always argued is the case. Right-leaning media outlet Breitbart was quick to publish the story about it, and more than 11,000 people shared the article about the WikiLeaks within 4 hours. Its caption starts with, "One of Hillary's biggest lies, and there are many, is that Putin doesn't want her to win." On the other hand, Democracy Now!, a left-leaning program, quoted Li Feng of The Intercept, who argued the emails really show that Clinton is far more conservative and business-friendly when she's talking with aides or giving speeches to Wall Street banks. To that post, many Bernie Sanders supporters replied that perhaps it's time for them to move on from all this and really listen to what Bernie told them to do, which is to vote for Clinton.
Well, a bit of camaraderie there, so close to the election. Mm-hmm. What else is trending?
American pop legend Janet Jackson officially announced her pregnancy at age 50.
Wow.
Big 50. She revealed the news in an exclusive interview with People magazine. Many women are tweeting, Jackson and former Spice Girls member Jerry Halliwell are giving hope to older wannabe moms. Halliwell, better known as Ginger Spice, is 44 this year and she just had a baby. Last but not least, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang's visit to Macau is also trending on Twitter, with a hype mostly generated by the country's state-owned media. Li's quoted as saying it's been his long-cherished wish to be there. Jim, back to you.
All right. Thanks for the wrap-up, G. You can follow us on Twitter on our main Twitter stream for International Edition. That's at @VOA_IE. And, of course, our own individual accounts at VOA Stevenson and at G. Abby Lee. Among the top stories that are trending in Asia: Thailand's king's health unstable. Philippine President Duterte to visit China next week. Singapore scores poorly in ability to prevent illicit trade. Extensive blackout in Tokyo hits trains and government offices. New earthquake-resistant housing proves dangerous during Kashmir crossfire. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories, video as well, and much more at the VOAnews.com website and on your smartphone with our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. The United Nations has appealed for funds for hundreds of thousands of Haitians who bore the brunt of the wrath of Hurricane Matthew that tore through the Caribbean last week. Hundreds lost their lives in Haiti alone. The massive Category 4 storm cut a wide swath of destruction across the impoverished nation still recovering from a 2010 earthquake. Rudolf Muller is director of the Geneva-based Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs.
The government of Haiti and the humanitarian countries team Flash Appeal seeks to provide life-saving assistance and protection to 750,000 people out of 1.4 million people in need over the next 3 months. To do so, we urgently need to mobilize $119 million.
The funds are intended to provide food, drinking water, and shelter to the most vulnerable in need. The world's leading nonprofit U.S.-based medical aid group, AmeriCares, has provided supplies to deal with a post-storm outbreak of the waterborne disease cholera that has already claimed several lives. Its president and CEO is Michael Nienhuis, who spoke with VOA's Victor Beatty.
This is a terrible natural disaster. It is maybe not getting the attention that it deserves because of so many other things happening, but this is a bad deal for the people of Haiti. Probably the biggest natural disaster since the Nepal earthquake. And not only 1,000 people or so dead, whatever the number is going to be, but big, big risk of many more people dying of cholera and other infectious diseases. So we need a lot of attention on this.
Describe what the scene is down there.
We have a team that's sort of based out of Lakai, which is one of the hard-hit areas in the southwest of the country. But when you move west from there along the southern tip of Haiti, our team has run into communities there that are completely destroyed. The houses are gone. The health centers have been damaged or are not there. In places where we've found a hospital or a clinic, we've seen cholera patients on the floor because there's just not enough room for them.
What is AmeriCares doing specifically, and what is needed over the course of the coming days? And, of course, timing is crucial.
Timing is very crucial. AmeriCares, we are focused in the health sector. That's the work that we do, trying to build up and strengthen the capacity of the local health system to respond in a disaster like this. We are putting medicines and medical supplies on the ground. We're looking, going clinic to clinic, hospital to hospital to find out what their needs are and making sure that that we can meet those needs. We are bringing in a lot of supplies to deal with cholera patients, and we're also looking at ramping up programs we've done in Haiti in the past focused on cholera education, prevention, and treatment.
Are some of these supplies and personnel pre-located, or are these items that have to be brought in somehow?
Some of both. We have a team that was in Haiti at the time, and they all been mobilized around this. We brought in people and supplies from the Dominican Republic. We flew in supplies and people from our base here in Connecticut. We have a major air shipment that's going out on Wednesday. We have a sea shipment that arrived today in Port-au-Prince. We are buying medicines and supplies locally and in the Dominican Republic. So really, wherever we can get our hands on the things that are needed. Our head of emergency response is in Port-au-Prince now, really called me last night with just a plea, like, we have got to get materials in here fast.
Michael Neinheis said since Haiti already has a weak health system and little infrastructure, AmeriCare's two-pronged approach includes both immediate relief and thinking in terms of strengthening these systems to cope with future natural disasters. AmeriCare is one of many organizations operating in Haiti that you may donate to if you so choose. U.S. fast food giant McDonald's is putting its popular mascot on hiatus with increasing reports of creepy clown sightings across the United States. Ronald McDonald, the red-haired, floppy-shoed clown, will limit public appearances until further notice. McDonald's decision comes after a spate of pranks and threats nationwide that have involved eerie clowns. The trend began during the summer with unconfirmed reports in South Carolina, and since then reports elsewhere have involved costumed hoaxers frightening people on the street and also via social media. The sightings have sparked copycat acts in Australia and New Zealand, and police are now issuing stern warnings for would-be clowns. International Edition reporter Ira Melman spoke with Randy Christensen. He's the president of WCA, that is, yeah, there is one, the World Clown Association.
It's been a kind of crazy time. I think there's a kind of a mob hysteria that's come about because of primarily social media. And so it's kind of propagated this thing not just in the United States, but now there's copycats doing this type of thing in different parts of the world.
Is this something really new, or is it the intensity of it? Or, I mean, have these things happened before in history?
Well, I would say the intensity of it has just been multiplied because of social media primarily. I think a lot of this has happened because of teenagers tweeting their friends, Facebooking, creating accounts, in order actually to scare their friends because they think it would be fun. And I would say that this type of thing has happened each year around the Halloween season, but it's just the proliferation of it this year is pretty huge.
Also, there have been threats of violence, especially on social media, from some of these people who apparently are putting on, you know, the clown makeup and everything. Is that new or what?
Well, I would say, first of all, any of the reports that I have seen, I have not seen a single one that actually is putting on makeup. They're just buying Halloween masks and standing out on a street corner or going behind a bush. And so from the World Clown Association, let me say, first of all, these people are not clowns. This is somebody that has went and bought a horror character mask and is going out trying to scare people. You know, we at the World Clown Association, the reason we do what we do in clowning is we want to bring joy and smiles and happiness and laughs, and we're visiting children in hospitals, we're visiting senior citizens in nursing homes, we're doing birthday parties for kindergarten girls. And, you know, so we have really nothing at all to do with this and see us as a totally separate camp from what we do. But yet I understand that sometimes the general population, some people can't see that difference somehow when they, you know, are walking through a park and somebody jumps out with a horror clown mask on.
Is there anything that you or your association is or can do about this?
Well, the only thing that we're trying to do is, first of all, we want our members to be safe, because some of our members that are going out just to do community events and charity events and, as I said, visit hospitals, we also want to encourage our members, honestly, to continue on going out and doing these fairs and festivals and family events and do these things, because the only way people are going to see the positive side of what we do is if we keep doing it.
Randy Christensen is the president of the World Clown Association. Ronald McDonald has helped promote the company for decades and has become the namesake of a series of animated videos produced for the chain and a charity that helps sick children and their families. You can visit voanews.com for more on this story and many others. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @VOA_IE. And while you're online, check our Facebook page out. It's VOA Now. Like us if you like. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
Join us for VOA's coverage of the most important U.S. political event of the year. Americans will decide who their next president will be. We'll have all the context, commentary, and analysis with our coverage of the U.S. presidential election. Right here on VOA.
Hi there, this is Larry London, the host of Border Crossings. Nice to meet you. I would love for you to join us each and every day, Monday through Friday, on Border Crossings for requests, dedications, giveaways, and surprise guests. We've got some of today's biggest hitmakers coming into the studio to talk about their music. And all we're missing is you. So join us Monday to Friday, right here on Border Crossings. This is the Voice of America.
This is VOA's International Edition. The Country Music Association, one of the most influential ambassadors of country music, is turning 50 this year. And to honor this milestone achievement, the CMA brought a one-time gathering of its 30 artists to record a new song that is already making history. International Edition's Sarah Williams talks with Nikki Strong of VOA One about the release.
It's called Forever Country. It's a mashup of three iconic country songs: John Denver's Take Me Home, Country Roads, Willie Nelson's On the Road Again, and Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You. It was recorded in 3 days in Nashville in June with Shane McAnally as the producer.
So how did they choose these three songs?
Well, it's a combination of things. Originally, it was just going to be a song along with a video. But as they were brainstorming, they decided to ask Joseph Kahn, who is the Grammy Award-winning director of Taylor Swift's Bad Blood video, since he was going to direct the video. They said, you know, they asked him, were there any country songs that he would like to do? And after some thought, he was like, you know what? One song really won't capture the rich history of country music, so why don't we do a mashup of like three songs? And that is when the awesome producer Shane McAnally was brought in to make that happen, especially since he is also on the CMA board.
Well, that's a big task to undertake.
Yes, it is. He was scared at first, understandably, despite how talented he is. He considered 40 songs, 40 of them. And, you know, one of his concerns was that country songs have narratives. And so he didn't want to take snippets of songs and then undermine the narrative of each song. He wanted to do each song justice, as well as do the overall mashup justice. The songs he considered were previous CMA Song of the Year winners, or at least were nominated, and had like universal themes that could sound like a love song to the country genre. So these three wound up making it, to make a long story short. And I personally think he did a fantastic job. And I'm not the only one. The song debuted in the number one spot on the Billboard Hot Country Singles chart. It's the third ever to do so. And that also enables each artist that is on that song have a number one hit on the charts as well.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes.
So how did they choose the artists?
Okay, so at first they didn't know how many artists were going to participate and decided to narrow down the list by considering only previous CMA winners. So they wanted artists of then, now, and forever, as they called it. So they reached out to many, and about 30 were able to do it. And the list includes Dolly Parton, Miranda Lambert, Alabama, Charlie Pride, Luke Bryan, Willie Nelson, to name a few. The song is great, as I said, as well as the video that goes along with it. And also all the profits from the sale and streaming of the song go towards music education, sponsored, supported by the CMA Foundation.
Well, you can hear Forever Country by artists of then, now, and forever on VOA 1's Country Hits with Nikki Strong. You can also see the video on Facebook and Twitter at VOA 1 The Hits. Thanks a lot, Nikki.
You're welcome.
And
been listening to International Edition, and we invite you to stop by our website, voanews.com, where you can always find this and many other great programs there, and follow along in this presidential campaign as we only have 20-plus days to go before Election Day. You'll want to follow all the twists and turns at voanews.com. Like us on Facebook, VOA Now is the place to go, and follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. You won't find a better director around than Tracy Carter, and we have the wonderful Zeynep Abdel-Rahman with us today as our engineer. Thank you so much. And of course, you, our excellent audience. Thanks for joining us. We can only wish you an excellent day. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We'll see you next time.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and Coca-Cola North America President Sandy Douglas recently announced that their partnership to restore and protect damaged watersheds within national forest lands achieved a milestone of 1 billion liters of water restored, and that the partnership will commit to double that outcome through 2018. The 13 restoration areas are located within U.S. national forest land, the source of drinking water for more than 60 million Americans, and they can help ensure that future generations living nearby will have access to fresh water. This milestone that Coca-Cola, USDA, and our partners have reached is just the latest example of how partnerships between the public and private sectors can reach more people, harness more innovation, and do more good than either government or businesses can achieve alone, said Vilsack. America's 193 million acres of public forests and grasslands supply the drinking water for 60 million Americans, support approximately 200,000 full and part-time jobs, and contribute over $13 billion to local communities each year. This public-private sector partnership includes community organizations and taps their collective expertise to address increasing stress on water resources during challenging budget times. Dozens of local communities and hundreds of volunteers and youth work together on water resource management education and stewardship activities. The Carson National Forest in northern New Mexico is an example of the public-private partnerships approach. Local partners work together to help restore an alpine meadow and enhance a natural wetland habitat. By slowing the flow of Placer Creek, a tributary of the Rio Grande, the local team helped to restore a biodiverse meadow habitat and replenish the groundwater that contributes to the city of Santa Fe, New Mexico's water supply. The meadow restoration project is expected to help replenish approximately 49 million liters of water per year. One of the primary purposes of the 1897 Act that established our national forests was to ensure the long-term supply of water for our country, U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell said. More than 100 years later, the stewardship of these public lands for forest and watershed health continues to be essential in ensuring an adequate water supply and providing high-quality water for needs across the United States.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.